Hey, good afternoon. Beautiful Tuesday afternoon. First day of the carnival season. It's going to be a short carnival season because Mardi Gras is so early this year, February the 17th. You know, we can only hope that February 17th is this nice because when Mardi Gras is early, like February 17th, there's always a chance that it is going to be a chilly Mardi Gras, but we don't know. But this is the beginning of the king cake season and the carnival season, and you heard Chris Miller say in the news that this is the first legal day to eat king cake. Now, eating king cake before King's Day, January 6th, has been decriminalized in New Orleans. So if you're caught eating it on the street, you're not going to get busted. And I know a lot of people are concerned about their kids seeing people eating king cake on the street before King's Day, January 6th. And, you know, they feel like they're breaking the law. They're doing something that is just not proper. And I think you just have to explain to your children that, you know, some people just don't want to follow the rules. All right. The Los Angeles Lakers are in town tonight against the Pelicans. Can the Pelicans get a win against the Lakers? I hope so. If you have a chance to go, go. I can't make it tonight, but I have gone to more Pelicans games this season than I did the last two seasons combined. And I'm going to continue to support the Pelicans, especially now that the Saint season is over. So we've still got a lot to get to this afternoon. Let's take a quick look at Scoot's news briefs. The new polling shows how American voters are feeling about President Trump's regime change in Venezuela.
A new poll shows what Americans think about the situation in Venezuela. There are a few signs that President Donald Trump supporters wanted the United States to become more involved in foreign conflicts, even as many Republicans are showing an initial support for his military strike in Venezuela. That's according to a recent AP NORC poll. Polling found that many Americans want the U.S. government to focus in 2026 on domestic issues like health care and high costs rather than foreign policy issues. Meanwhile, polling conducted in the aftermath of the military operation that captured Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro suggests many Americans are unconvinced that the U.S. should step in to take control of the country. Hiya Panjwani, Washington.
All right, so if you're in Venezuela, you got to ask yourself the question, who the hell is in charge? Well, Venezuelan officials are trying to explain that to the people.
The Venezuelan government sought to show the Venezuelan people and the world that their country is being run independently and not controlled by the United States, following the stunning weekend arrest of Nicolas Maduro on charges of drug trafficking. Venezuelan's new interim president, Delcy Rodriguez, who formerly served as vice president to Maduro, called for Venezuelans to come together, while also calling Maduro and his wife heroes.
De rehenes en los Estados Unidos de Norteamérica.
Secretary of State Marco Rubio says that the United States will not govern Venezuela day to day, and Rodriguez has vowed to work with the Trump administration, saying that Venezuela is seeking respectful relations with the U.S. Secretary Rubio says the U.S. is using pressure on Venezuela's oil industry as a way to push for policy changes. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
The Trump administration's plans to take control of Greenland by military force from a NATO ally is not very popular in Europe.
The leaders issued a statement reaffirming that the strategic mineral-rich Arctic island belongs to its people, adding it's for Denmark and Greenland, and them only, to decide on matters concerning Denmark and Greenland. The leaders of France, Germany, Italy, Poland, Spain and the UK joined Danish Prime Minister Mette Frederiksen in defending Greenland's sovereignty in the wake of President Donald Trump's comments about Greenland, which is a self-governing territory of the Kingdom of Denmark and thus part of the NATO military alliance. Canadian Prime Minister Mark Carney also expressed his support and announced a visit to Greenland early next month by Canada's Governor General Mary Simon, who is of Inuk descent, and Foreign Minister Anita Anand. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
All right, one of the most visible never-Trump Republicans is giving up on the Republican Party and now running for Congress in New York as a Democrat.
George Conway, a one-time supporter of President Trump turned critic and one-time Republican turned Democrat, throws his hat in the ring for Congress, entering a crowded New York primary to succeed retiring Representative Jerry Nadler.
This is a moment where we need people who can fight Trump the way he needs to it needs to be battled.
The 62-year-old attorney is one of the founders of the Lincoln Project and was once married to former Trump advisor Kellyanne Conway. He had worked in New York for decades, but had been living in Maryland until recently moving back.
This is the place that made me, and this is the place I always go back to. It'll explode to me.
Other candidates in the race include Nadler protege, state lawmaker Michael Lasher, school shooting survivor and advocate Cameron Lasky, and Jack Schlossberg, the grandson of JFK. Julie Walker, New York.
It's January the 6th. It is King's Day, King Cake Day, the beginning of the carnival season in New Orleans. But it's also the anniversary of the attack on the U.S. Capitol. And newly released testimony from Jack Smith sheds light on President Trump's actions on that infamous day.
In a closed-door interview before members of the House Judiciary Committee December 17th, former Justice Department Special Counsel Jack Smith said that his team of investigators found that President Donald Trump criminally conspired to overturn his 2020 presidential election loss.
The evidence here made clear that President Trump was, by a large measure, the most culpable and most responsible person in this conspiracy. These crimes were committed for his benefit.
Smith also said there is powerful evidence that Trump broke the law by hoarding classified documents from his first term at Mar-a-Lago in Florida. Smith's team had filed charges against Trump in both investigations, but dropped the cases after Trump was elected to the White House last year. Donna Water, Washington.
And of course, a lot of people don't accept that information that the president was involved in trying to manipulate votes to where he won the election. You know, this very precise attack over the weekend on Venezuela. They succeeded. And congratulations to our military for succeeding in this mission. But, you know, overtaking Venezuela the way they did in order to get Nicolas Maduro and his wife, this self-proclaimed leader, this guy won an election or allegedly won an election that a lot of the people in Venezuela don't accept. They really don't accept him as the leader. It's really kind of a screwed up situation, much worse than our situation here in America. But the U.S. government took into custody Nicolas Maduro and his wife. They were taken into custody. In 2020, the last year of the Trump administration's first term, the Southern District of New York charged Maduro with narco-terrorism and conspiracy to import cocaine. Much of the coke came into the United States and had a negative impact on many American communities. In August of last year, a reward of $50 million was announced for the arrest of Maduro. This is a bad dude. The legitimacy of the election that Maduro claims he won has been in question, and the majority of the citizens of Venezuela don't even accept him as the president. So while the charges against Maduro were originally filed in 2020 during the last year of Trump's first term, that was not a huge story. I mean, I'm a talk show host. I pay attention to the, you know, the big stories and we talk about them. That was not a huge story in 2020. 2020 was an election year. And I recall that there wasn't much attention paid to that, but attention paid to the election. Well, now thousands and thousands of additional documents in the Epstein files have been released from the Justice Department. And not only is Trump's name mentioned many times, but the number of times Trump was on Epstein's private jets increased significantly from the original number released. According to the newly released documents, Donald Trump flew on Epstein's private jets. Epstein had a converted Boeing 727 and several Gulfstream jets. I mean, obviously, this guy had like tons of money. So flying on Epstein's private jets doesn't prove any wrongdoing, but one has to wonder why. Why was he on the jets? Where were they going? And what were they doing on the jets? On one flight in 1993, Epstein and Trump were the only passengers on the flight logs. During another trip, there were three passengers listed on the flight logs: Epstein, Trump, and a 20-year-old who was redacted in the files. Two additional flights included two women who were described as potential witnesses in the case against Epstein's partner, Ghislaine Maxwell. Now, if they were potential witnesses, then it suggested that they were among the underage survivors of Epstein's illegal lifestyle. President Trump has condemned the release of the Epstein files as a distraction from all of the good things the Trump administration is doing for America. Others are claiming that the new interest in Venezuela and the renewed talk about taking control of Greenland are indeed distractions from the fact that Trump's name appears so often in the Epstein files and that the number of times he flew on Epstein's private jets was much more than originally reported. In 1997, a controversial movie starring Dustin Hoffman and Robert De Niro hit movie theaters nationwide. I saw this movie. I remember how profound it was, and I remember talking about it on the air. This movie fed the suspicion that presidents are not above manipulating foreign policy to distract from controversies that involve their presidencies. The title of the movie was Wag the Dog. Some of you may remember. In the movie, the president of the United States started a war with a rather insignificant country to distract from a sex scandal in which the president was involved. Could the renewed interest in Venezuela and the threat to take over Greenland be examples of Wag the Dog? If the American people have learned anything about this administration, it is that anything is possible. Throughout modern history, respect for the Constitution has been an unwavering factor that has held the actions of presidents within an acceptable and legal playing field. But some of the actions and suggested actions of the current administration show an unprecedented disrespect for the Constitution, and that raises legitimate questions about the premise of the movie, Wag the Dog. If you want to join us with a comment this afternoon, the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. Just bringing up the possibility that this is a distraction because, as I have said, there are a lot of things that people can do wrong. But having sex with underage girls is something that not many people will survive. If it is true that the current president was involved in the past in having sex with underage girls, is that something he can survive? I'm not sure he thinks he can. And the question that remains is, if he is innocent, then why doesn't he release the files? Why are the files so redacted? I understand that some things need to be redacted to protect the identities, but that can be done without other things being redacted. I doubt that there's any black pens left in Washington, D.C., felt pens left because they're blacking out so much stuff. Now, the redactions are a suggestion that they're hiding something. And then all this other stuff is coming up, and I don't think it's fair to just let the Epstein files go. And when there's new information, we're going to talk about it, because if we don't talk about it, then we are among those who are protecting pedophiles. And protecting pedophiles in our society today is something that is totally unacceptable. And anybody who is not in favor of releasing the Epstein files seems to vicariously be supporting pedophiles. I think we should know if a president was involved. And how are we going to know if there's so much redaction? And why is there so much redaction? And if you're not guilty of it, then just release the files. But there is a reason why the files are not being released. There's a reason why there's so much material that's redacted in the files that are released. And all this does is cause legitimate questions to be asked. And we'll continue to ask some of those questions. If you have a comment, the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. All right, Tuesday, January the 6th. It is the first week of the new year. Back to reality for many of you who had a great time during Christmas and New Year's. So, it's going to be a long week, but the weekend's going to be here before you know it. And let's just hope it's a funky new year. I'm Scoot. We'll be back on WWL.